The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
I want to thank you for joining me today, and I want to really believe that this program is going to make a powerful difference in your life. So many times people go through so much in life that they forget the dreams that God has placed in their heart. This message is going to remind you of something that is greater than anything you could dream, and that's God's dream, and you're a part of it. He's included you in His dream. And I want to take a moment and I want to say, if you're ever in South Carolina or California or the state of Georgia, we have campuses in all of these states, and we would love to have you join us sometime in a live praise and worship service. Today's message is going to touch your life in an amazing way. Let's go live into this service.
I believe that. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Genesis chapter 42. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then he said to them, "Where did you come from?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Now notice, then, everybody say then. When he saw him, when he saw the brothers that had done him so wrong, when he saw the brothers that he had not seen in 20 plus years, he remembered the dreams that he had dreamed about them. What was the dream? If you read the book of Genesis and 37, 38, he dreamed of a harvest and he saw those brothers bowing down in that dream. But he saw a harvest bowing down, the harvest bent over, representing, Jesus said, the harvest is ripe, souls, the lost. He remembered the dream when he saw his brothers. I want to talk to you for a few moments, and I'm really going to preach to dreamers, and you say, "I don't have one." Well, you're in the right place today. Daniel chapter 2, there's a strange dream that God gave Nebuchadnezzar, Babylonian king. And in the dream, it was so dynamic that it would shape the entire story of human history. He saw a statue in a dream that had a gold head. Notice the deterioration of human existence, kingdoms. It starts with gold. It has silver, brass, iron, and then ending with clay feet. I believe prophetically, and all of those different materials represented different kingdoms that have come and gone in human existence. I believe we're now at the clay feet. All of everything could collapse. And in the dream, Nebuchadnezzar saw a stone, a simple stone, start rolling down the hill and hit that statue that was so powerful of human ingenuity and power and the glories and kingdoms of kings and men. And that rock, that stone, hit the feet, the clay feet, and it collapsed. And suddenly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords said, "I've brought a new kingdom to take over the world." But here's the amazing thing about this dream. He forgot it. When he woke up, you would think something that important, something that is historic and world-shaking, but he could not recall it. He forgot it. And he said, "The thing," that's what he called it in Daniel 2. He said, "The thing has left me." So he calls his magicians and he calls his soothsayers and his fortune tellers and his witches, and he calls them in and he says, "Tell me the dream and tell me the interpretation. I cannot bring it up. I can't remember it. I've forgotten the dream." And he said, "If you don't do it, I'm going to kill you." I believe that a lot of people have forgotten the dream. And God needs to give a restoration of the dream to every person in this room. You see, we don't just sing to sing. We don't just come to church to come to church. We don't just do what we do to do it. The only reason that we're not in heaven today, the only reason the rapture has not taken place yet, is because God is still trying to get somebody else saved. He doesn't want them to be left. He doesn't want them to go to hell. In the story of Joseph, the Bible said that Jacob, Joseph's father, loved him more than his other sons and made him a coat of favor, a coat of many colors that represented his favor on his son. And it upset the other brothers because his favor was on that boy in the form of that coat of many colors. It's the favor of God upon his children that I believe upsets hell as much as anything. And it's obvious to me. We don't take any credit. We're careful to give God the glory. But I just want to proclaim that God's favor is upon this church. That God's favor is upon this place. That God's favor is upon His people and upon His families that are represented under the sound of my voice at all of our campuses. We have a special place in the sight of God, just like Joseph did. I don't know why, but we must acknowledge. I believe in being giving God the glory and being humble, but I also, the older I get, the bolder I get. I don't have time to waste anymore. And I feel like saying, when the favor of God is on you, you need to recognize the favor of God is on you, not for your glory, not for your fame, not for your name, but for His name and His kingdom that will never end. Turn to somebody and say, the favor of the Father is here. He was separated from his brothers by a coat of many colors. And by the way, the more that God puts His favor on you, the more you stand out. That's why it was a coat. It was a loud coat, a coat of many colors. And you try to conceal it and you try to be cool about it. But when God really wraps favor on you, it becomes loud in your life and it's hard. And at some point you get tired of trying to apologize for all the goodness and blessings of God. You don't know what somebody went through. You don't know what they did. You don't know how long they tithed and their mama and daddy tithed and their great granddaddy tithed. Sometimes blessings are just catching up with us. That's why even if I don't get the harvest off everything that I've sown, I know my children will, my grandchildren will, because God doesn't forget one thing you do for His name's sake. Oh, I need somebody to go on and shout. Hallelujah. All things are possible. The Bible said his brothers hated him because the gift of his father was upon him. But there's something that Satan hates more than talented people and gifted people and blessed people and people who are so favored of God that people notice how blessed. There's something greater than that and something hell hates more than the people of God being favored. I can't get away from it. Blessings are chasing you. You can't run fast enough. You can't run hard enough to get away from the prayers of your granny that's been dead and people who prayed. Your godly heritage is going to overtake you. Deuteronomy said all these blessings will overtake you and you're going to wonder why is this happening and how did this happen and what happened. It's just all these blessings shall form a tidal wave and they're going to fall on one generation and we are that generation and you ought to get happy and you ought to get up with a new outlook that says this is the day the Lord has made and I have not forgotten the dream. The dream is God will bless and use me to win souls for the kingdom of God. But notice they hated him yet the more. When they saw him, they said, behold, the dreamer comes. It bothered them that he had the favor, but it bothered them more. And the scripture said in one place that they hated him the more because he had the dream. They didn't like that he had the gift of favor, but they really didn't like, and this is a sign of what Satan fears and what irritates and breaks his back, is when people not only have the favor of God, say, I've got it, but when people have a dream from God and the favor of God, they are a threat to Satan's kingdom. But God's about to put His Pentecostal power on parade. God's about to put His church on parade. God's about to put His bride on parade. And say, what do you mean stay out of entertainment? What do you mean stay out of politics? What do you mean stay out of this and stay out of that? Keep your little thing in the church building. When God's favor and God's dream comes on us, it's to save a nation. That's what Joseph had. He had a dream to save a dying nation. Famine was there. Famine was coming, and the only thing that could save it was a man who had the favor of God and had a dream from God. When David arrived to fight the giant Goliath, the Bible said they were setting the battle in array for 40 days in a row. The Bible said they were putting their fighting clothes on. Every morning they got up, put their fighting clothes on, got their sword, got their shield, got all their armor on, got their helmets on. Everybody suited up, blessed, fed, taken care of. Goliath is screaming for a fight. The Philistines are mocking them, and they get dressed up, all ready for battle, and look at each other. Oh, y'all don't want me to preach today. It reminds me of a lot of Christians who say, we aim to do this. We aim one day to do that. We aim when one of these days I'm going to really do something. Quit aiming and fire. I mean, look at the condition of our nation. If we're going to ever do anything, we need to quit aiming and we need to fire. We need to stand up. We need to pray. We need revival. We need a dream for revival in America again. We need a dream that our schools could explode with a Holy Ghost revival. We need to dream. We need to believe that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Nothing upsets the devil and assaults his kingdom more than when his people who know his name and are covered in his blood begin to dream. Folks who dare to dream of the harvest are a threat to Satan. I'm telling you, there's so much more that God has for us, but we quit dreaming. We get beat up by life. We go through stuff. But what I've learned is it's not my dream to sustain. God is the sustainer of the dream. And when it looks like the dream is dead and Satan's waving a bloody coat saying it's dead, it's over, God says, I have sustained the dream. Even when you don't see it, I'm working. Even when you can't see it, I'm moving. And don't you ever think I'll let my dream die. Many people have compromised their dreams, the dream that God had for your life. Don't compromise your dream. I'll tell you what happens when somebody really gets filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, what happens? They'll be a witness. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will come upon you and you'll be a witness. Well, you'll witness and you'll worship. The Bible said they speak with tongues. You'll get a prayer language and a worship language. It's powerful. But when you really get full of the Holy Ghost, Joel chapter 2 said, and I'll pour out my spirit in the last days on the sons and the daughters. The old men will dream dreams and the young men will see visions. And if you don't have a dream, it's because you don't have much of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit wants to give you the dream for His kingdom in these days that we're living in. And the more you get of the Holy Spirit, the more of a dream that He will give you. But what I've learned is the enemy always offers me a compromise on my dream. If God said you're gonna go to 1,000, don't compromise at 500. If God said 10,000, don't stop at 5,000. If God said 1,000,000, businessman, don't stop at 500,000. If God said 500 million, don't stop at 100 million. Don't compromise your dream. Notice that Joseph's brothers hated him for the dream, and they delayed the dream. They denied the dream for a season. They held up the dream, but they could not kill the dream. There are forces that have tried to conspire and detain and delay and captivate your dream. But the Lord sent me to tell you the dream is still alive. They cannot kill. And if you got a dream to see your family saved, it may be hindered. It may look like nothing. But I'm telling you, the dream is sustained by God. Don't stop praying it. At first, when you first get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, oh, my whole family, I'm going to get my whole family in here. And because it hasn't happened just like you thought it would, you stop praying it. Well, I guess if I just get to heaven, I'm just trying to hold on myself. Don't compromise your dream. Do you remember what happened? They fabricated a false evidence. They took the coat of many colors, threw Joseph in the pit, beat him up. Took the coat dipped it in the blood of a goat, and took it back to the old father Jacob, and they didn't say a lie. They just let him look at the false evidence and come up with a conclusion that was not at all true. They said, look at this. Look at the blood on this coat. Look how it's ripped to pieces. Look, do you think he's dead? Yeah, I think he's dead. They just suggested it. That's what the enemy does to us. He waves the bloody coat over the dream. He waves it over and over and over. I cannot tell you the times that he did that to me, and he did that to us in this church. He waved it and said, this is it. This is it. This is it. It's over. Just quit. Just forgive up. But that's when the real test for the dream is going on. I guess what I'm preaching is when you understand that Jacob, for 20 years, the Bible said he mourned every day for his son. He would take that bloody coat and mourn every day. He said these words, I will go to my grave mourning for my son, not knowing that while he was crying, Joseph was reigning as governor, in second in charge of the most powerful nation in the world. Stop having funerals for dreams that are not dead. God was sustaining Joseph while Jacob was crying. Whew. God will sustain the dream. Your dream is not dead. Your mission is not dead. Your blessing is not dead. Your ministry is not dead. It's not dead. Don't listen to the waving and look at the waving of the bloody coat and start compromising your dream.
I want you to know God has not forgotten about you. People will forget you, but God has you on His mind today. That's why you're watching this program. Give Him your life right now. Say Jesus. Just say that name. There's power in it. Jesus, I believe in you. I need you. I long for a change in my life, and I've come to the end of the rope. I cannot change myself. I pray today for those who are sick in their body watching me on this television program. Be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, I believe in miracles. I believe He's the healer, and by His stripes you are healed. You shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord in Jesus' mighty name. I praise God. I feel He's touching you right now. We've got a prayer army who are ready to pray with you, and people who are ready to minister to you. There's a number on the screen. Go online. There's all kinds of material that will be a blessing to you. I have to thank each and every one of you for the way you have responded to our newest initiative, the Apostle Paul Project. Together, we're spreading the good news all over the nation of Israel and helping fulfill biblical prophecy found in Isaiah 52 and verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. We need your help to support these new congregations. Please pray for what God will have you do, and I know it will be enough to meet the need. We're believing big for God to use us to bring help and hope even to people in the nation of Israel. Here's my announcer to tell you more.
Join us on an incredible journey as we follow in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, who fearlessly spread God's kingdom throughout the Middle East. Jensen Franklin Media Ministries is making a bold impact on the nation of Israel through unwavering support and blessings. And now, introducing our latest initiative, the Apostle Paul Project. Together, we're making history by establishing vibrant congregations of faith in the Holy Land. We're not only building congregations of faith, but we're also nurturing a brand new generation of leaders who will carry the torch of faith forward. Imagine the incredible possibilities as we unite and fulfill our divine calling. Miracles are already unfolding in the Holy Land. Congregations are blossoming, and dedicated leaders are receiving the training they need to spread hope far beyond borders. With your help, we're breathing life into biblical prophecies and embracing the Apostle Paul's vision to share the message of the Messiah across Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all of Israel. Lives are being transformed, and you have the chance to be a part of this monumental journey. Don't miss your opportunity to make a difference. Together, let's shape history and leave an eternal legacy. Call now or go online to be a part of the Apostle Paul Project today.
Next week on Kingdom Connection.
He's working even when you don't see it. He's working even when he's not announcing it or autographing it.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.